Okay. Tonight we're doing getting the kitchen ready or the house ready for Pesach. Now, technically, ideally, you should have everything new for Pesach. In other words, a new house only for Pesach. That's ideal. Okay? Because anytime you kosher things, it could be problematic, even though halachically you're allowed to do it, but you know, nothing is as good as having brand new house or any, especially for Pesach. To take 2 minutes to explain for certain concepts of koshering, we're talking about the kitchen primarily, what you need to kosher for Pesach. So, the concept of koshering is very simple. When you take a pot, a brand new pot, during the year, okay, and you cook chicken soup in the pot becomes the meat, fleishik. Why does it become fleishik? Even though you clean out this pot spotlessly, there's not a trace left of meat. Why is the pot meat? Because halach is, through heat, the taste of what you cooked becomes absorbed within the walls of the utensil. So in the walls of the utensil, the walls are now have meat inside them. What's the concept of koshering the utensil? To get what's absorbed out. Because once you get absorbed out, then it's like you have a brand new vessel, because there's nothing absorbed, not inside, and everything is clean, even internally, so to speak. So now, the pot has no chametz or meat, or whatever it may be, kosher to treif or whatever it may be. So then, it spits it out, and therefore it becomes kosher. Now, certain things, certain materials are kasherable. Certain materials are not kasherable. What do you mean they're not kasherable? The chachamim, like earthenware. Chachamim establish that earthenware utensils never spit out completely. They don't. What? Earthenware. China. We'll see about other things in a second. So basically, because it doesn't remove it completely, it never comes out completely, it only comes out a little bit at a time. So then, you never got rid of the chametz that's inside the absorption, absorbed within the walls of the utensil. And therefore, you can never kasher, because then you're going to use it during Pesach, and a little bit of what's absorbed in the walls of the vessel, the chametz, is going to come out into your Pesach, the food, and it's going to make it non-kosher. Certain things that got chametz stick or treif with direct fire, you cannot kosher with the hot water process. There's a rule in halacha. The way it goes in, that's the way it goes out. So let's say you have a pot and you cook chametz chicken soup in it, right? Or dairy lasagna in it or whatever. So then it went in with liquid. So then it goes out with liquid. But if you have a baking pan, or a broiler pan, or this is called in English a spit. You stick it onto the meat and you roast it directly over the fire. Or, let's see, you have a roasting pan, right? So you broiled chicken or meat, okay? That didn't go in with liquid. That went in with direct fire. So the only way you can kasher that is with direct fire, meaning making it red hot with direct fire. Okay? These are certain fundamental concepts you need to understand. Now, technically, if something only was used for cold, let's say somebody put cold soda in this cup, and then I spill out the cup and rinse it off, technically it's not chametz, because it's not treif, because nothing became absorbed within the walls. It's only heat that makes it go in and out. So therefore, technically, if I have this glass, let's say, and I fill it up with cold water, or, I'm sorry, filled up with milk, it's still not going to become dairy.
Even if it's 24 hours?
If it's weighed in it 24 hours, then it becomes dairy. But I'm talking about if it's cold and you take it out within 24 hours, then it doesn't become absorbed, because cold doesn't absorb unless if it was there for 24 hours. But otherwise, heat makes it absorb, and it doesn't. So what we're going to do now, based on that premise, just keep that in mind, we're going to go through which materials are kasherable, number one, for Pesach. And tonight is only about Pesach. We're not talking about year-round, because year-round is more lenient than Pesach. The reason for that is, year-round, meat and milk, non-kosher and kosher, become nullified 1 in 60. Right? If a little bit of milk falls into a big pot of chicken soup, and you have 60 times the amount in the chicken soup against the milk, the whole chicken soup is kosher. When it comes to Pesach and chametz, a drop of chametz in a 1,000-gallon chicken pot is not nullified. So the whole chicken soup would be treif. Chametz stick, not treif, chametz stick. Because chametz on Pesach never becomes nullified. Okay, so therefore, we're stricter on Pesach kashering than we are year-round. So we're learning tonight is Pesach, we're not learning... Okay, now, for Pesach, practically speaking, the only materials that could be kashered, the only materials that could be kashered is metal. Plastic is not kashable for Pesach. Earthenware is not kashable for Pesach. Glass is an interesting debate between the Sephardic Jews, use the same glass, many of them do, for Pesach, and that they do year-round. Many of them will use the same meat and dairy glasses, because one opinion, the Sephardic opinion in Halacha is, glass never absorbs. It just doesn't absorb. So you can have a hot glass pot, whatever that is, cooking, it'll never absorb. And if it never absorbs in it, so then it's not really chametz. You clean it out, and then there's no chametz in there because there's nothing absorbed. The Ashkenazim hold, it does absorb, and you cannot kasher it. It's my two extremes. One is it never becomes treif, and the other opinion says it doesn't, you can never kosher it. So some Sfardim are lenient, a lot of Sfardim nowadays are strict, but Ashkenazim for sure are strict with glass, so we don't kasher glass for Pesach. We don't kasher enamel, we don't kasher porcelain. For Pesach, we don't kasher for mica. We don't kasher Corel, Corningware, enamel, all that stuff. We don't kosher for Pesach, because these are materials that for Pesach, at least again, we're talking today, Pesach, cannot be kashered. Okay? So the only thing you can, or there's another rule with Hagalah, which is the hot water process. If it's not cleanable, it's not kasherable. The Hagalah process, the hot water process, only removes what's absorbed. Nothing substantial. If you have something substantial, even a drop, you cannot kasher it with the hot water process. Okay, so therefore, just to give you an example, strainers, sieves, because there are so many holes and all that, it's impossible to clean halachically, and therefore you can't kasher them for Pesach. If you have cutlery that has one piece, a handle, and another piece, the blade, like you have a wooden handle, plastic handle, those are not kasherable for Pesach. Again, we're talking Pesach now. You can't kasher them for Pesach because between the blade and the handle, it's impossible to clean out. There might be a drop of dirt or chametz or treif or whatever it is. And therefore, for Pesach, you cannot kasher a two-piece cutlery set. Two-piece, I mean, handle and separate thing, even though it's metal. But if it's wood and metal, okay, now, wood itself is a kasherable material. The material of wood is kasherable. But the problem is like this. Let's say you have a cutting board. Okay, a cutting board is full of grooves, right? When you cut, it's full of bits of plastic or wood, it doesn't matter. Even wood, a wooden cutting board is full of grooves. Those grooves are not cleanable. There's no way you can clean it properly, halachically. So the only way you would be able, technically, to kasher a cutting board is if you sand it down, that there's no more grooves, and then put it into boiling hot water. But you know, it's not worth the effort. Even with an electric sander, it's still not worth the effort. It takes a lot of time and koyach and energy to be able to do that. So again, in a practice, but if you have, let's say, a wooden spoon that doesn't have grooves and cracks and all that, it's kasherable in boiling hot water. And we'll learn the process
material that can be kosherable, the only...
It's metal, basically. Metal. And wood, technically, but again, graters cannot be kashered. Grinders cannot be kashered. Because there's, again, too many Food processor also not. We'll get to those materials, okay? So therefore, let's go through the kitchen and we'll discuss what needs to be kashered, how, if it needs to be kashered, how to kosher it, and those things that can't be koshered, what do you do with it? So we're gonna start with the easier things, okay? Let's go to the easier things. I don't know how to start it. Okay. Your tables. Your kitchen table was used a whole year for chametz. So therefore your table is chametz stick. Correct? It's full of chametz. So technically if you have a metal table without any rims around it, because the rims you can't clean out between the rims and the, if you have a, just a plain metal table, technically you can pour boiling hot water all over it and it kashes it. If you have another type of table, any other material of table, practically speaking, you can't kosher it. So what do?
You,
again, we don't kosher glass for Pesach. We're Ashkenazic, and you're Sephardic. We're Ashkenazic. So what do? You clean the table up thoroughly, and then you cover the table for the duration of Pesach. You cover the table with, like, say, vinyl or whatever, you know, whatever works. And then, you know, when you can have a milk tablecloth and a meat tablecloth or whatever, but the table should always be covered. The same thing you have in kitchen chairs, okay? A lot of times there's grooves in the chairs, especially when you have little kids, that leave more on the floor and on the chair than they have in the mouth. So again, those chairs have to be spotlessly cleaned out. There's nothing hot there, and you're not planning to use it for hot. You're just going to sit on it, but you still have to make sure that there's no chametz in any of those places. So the tables, basically, and the chairs, which refers to the kitchen table, the dining room table where you eat chametz during the year, those places need to be completely covered. Then you have the countertops. So again, it depends what type of countertop you have. If you have a metal countertop, again, you can technically pour boiling hot water all over it. But I'm going to explain what that means in a second. You can pour boiling hot water all over it. Or what happens if you have granite or marble, but not marble composition or granite composition. You have a slab of marble or granite. So those could be kashered. It is a kasherable material. Some people kasher it and cover it anyway. Okay, but technically, that's Pesach, everybody has their chumras, let's leave it at that, their strictnesses, and there's no such thing as being too crazy on Pesach. As crazy as you are whole year, you could be more crazy on Pesach, it's allowed. So the countertops are like this. If it's a kasherable material, because marble is kasherable, granite is kasherable, but formica is not kasherable.
How about tile?
Tile is not kasherable because they're ceramic tiles. Besides the fact that in between the tile, even if you have granite tiles, by the way, or marble tiles, because there's cement or glue, whatever you call it, cement and glue between the tiles, that is not a kasherable material. So you can't kosher the counter if you have grout between the tiles, because the grout is cement, the cement is earthenware, it's not kosherable. So what does somebody need to do in that case? They need to cover it, I mean clean it out really well, make sure there's no residue of any chametz, and then cover it again with whatever holds. You don't cover with aluminum foil or silver paper, whatever you call it, because the second you put down something on it, tears, it rips.
What do we do?
People put vinyl, whatever people, some people put vinyl, some people have custom made boards that they build that they keep from year to year. You can put plastic, whatever, but if it's plastic and you're gonna put boiling hot pot onto it, you're gonna melt the plastic. You have to just keep practical things in mind also. Now, but how do you kasher the countertops? Let's say you want to kasher, you have a marble granite countertop without any grout in the middle. How do you kasher that? Mm-hmm. So you take you first need to kasher the pot that you're kashering it with. Okay? Which we'll discuss later how to do that. But then, halachically, you have to pour boiling hot water all over the countertop. Yes, your kitchen floor will get wet. But you have to pour boiling hot water all over the kitchen counter. Some people are stricter. And what they do is, they also use a hot rock. That means they heat up, not a pebble. You heat up, let's say, a brick, okay, or good-sized stone or rock. You heat it up directly on the fire until it gets red hot. And then you take it and you pour the water from the kettle, let's say, all over the countertop. And when you pour the water, you go with the stone over the area, the hot rock, over the area that you're kashering. Okay?
It kills the contents.
Doesn't.
No. Is it stronger?
No, no, no. Granite and marble doesn't get killed like that. Now.
Doesn't crack. But, doesn't crack if the hot water.
No. If it cracks it, then it's fake. It's fake news. Then you might as well give it back. And get a new one.
You just slide it over.
Now, what's the reason for that hot rock? Because we're going to discuss the sinks. What's the reason to use the hot rock? So it's a very interesting reason in halacha. Normally, when everybody knows, when you kosher things, you have to put it into boiling hot water. Correct? You bubble up water, and then when it's rapid boil or running boil, whatever you want to call it, you put the stuff in and it kashers it. Correct? So really, if you think about it, putting something into a hot pot on the stove is hotter than the water you pour out of a pot. Right? Klirishin is hotter than pouring from the vessel. So really, if you want to kasher the countertop or your sink, what you really need to do is put it into boiling hot water. Pouring boiling hot water over the countertop is not as hot as putting it into boiling hot water, which is much stronger. So this is what the hot rock accomplishes. The hot rock accomplishes, it heats up the water more. It's considered as if you put it into boiling hot water. That's what the purpose of the hot rock is. So some people are machmir in our circles. If you're not going to cover it, we're machmir to use the hot rock. But al-pidin, according to halacha, if you pour boiling hot water over the countertop, it's good. But the countertop cannot be used. Anything you're kashering with boiling hot water cannot be used for 24 hours prior to the time you want to kosher it. Okay? Whatever, without getting into the reasons. Now there's not enough time.
Okay, but can I ask you a question? The hot water that you're heating on a stove that's already been kashered for Pesach?
When we get to kashering, the practical way of kashering, I mean, how to practically kasher, we'll get there soon. Let me first finish the kitchen and then we'll...
Okay.
Okay.
So this might be a stupid question.
I'm not saying it's a stupid question.
But what about dishwasher? Like, dishwasher has the highest hot...
Dishwashers cannot be kashered for Pesach.
We cannot put in dishwasher.
No. This dishwasher. Called the hands.
We are the dishwasher.
We are the people. We are the dishwashers, yes. No. What?
My counter is not kasherable, but we still kasher it.
People are bored before Pesach, so you can kasher. No, it's not kasherable. If you're covering it properly.
So you're saying that that's a waste of time?
If it's not kasherable, then why you put. You have to cover it anyway, right?
So clean it extra
I
well.
Cover it.
So I'm saying, so you cover it so you don't have to kasher it, especially if it's something you can't kasher. I mean, what's the purpose?
Even if it's a plastic clear and they can see the chametz?
Well, you don't see the chametz, you see the counter. If you take clear plastic and cover your counter, you know, the thick...
Shelf line.
Yeah.
Whatever, that you cover it, it doesn't matter. You're not seeing chametz. The counter is clean. You don't want to get chametz from... inside the counter out, but it's covered, so it's not going to come out, so it's not a problem. Yep.
What's considered 24 hours not using it? Not
for hot.
It in what way? Just for hot.
For hot. So but you want to listen to me? You don't use it because once you use it hot, cold, people put
before,
it in the sink.
Before we make it kosher for Pesach, the counter, 24 hours we should not use it?
And with hot. With hot.
Oh, it has to stay cold.
Stay not used or at least cold.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, now you come to the, let's go to the refrigerator. Because the refrigerator and freezer are cold, okay, what you have to do halachically is clean it out very well. Some people are machmir, they're stricter, that they'll also line the shelves. Again, halachically you don't have to, because it's clean and it's cold, it's not hot, so, but the minig is in many circles, including our circles, that we line the shelves at least. With the, like, they have now liners, you can buy them, you cut them to size. You line the shelves that the food shouldn't touch the actual shelf, which did come in contact with chametz the whole year. Same thing with the freezer. Freezer, the customer, you clean it out thoroughly, make sure there's no chametz in there. And there's a lot of cracks and grooves in the, you know, in the door where the,
the rubber gasket.
That, it has full of crumbs. If you look at it, it's full of crumbs. It has to be cleaned out thoroughly. Because again, chametz and Pesach, even a drop, is already problematic. So these are, the refrigerator is the easiest thing. You clean it out well, and then you can use it. For the same thing with the freezer. Okay? You can use it, and then that's it. Your biggest problem is the sink and the ovens and stoves. Stovetops and ovens. Because that's where real hot chametz has been a whole year. Even your sink is used with hot chametz a whole year. Okay? Now, a lot of sinks are not kasherable. If it's metal, it's kasherable. If it's porcelain sink, it's not kasherable. Okay? So, if you have a sink that's not kasherable, it's very easy. You can't kosher it. So, what do? You clean it out well. If you're bored, you pour hot water down there. Because even though, if you're bored. And then you line it. Today they have sink inserts you can buy in the kosher markets. They have sink inserts with holes at the bottom. It fits the sides of your sink. The sides you line with aluminum foil or Rubbermaid things. Basically, you want to cover the whole sink. Because the whole sink really was used with hot chametz during the year. And therefore, if it was used with hot chametz during the year, you can't use it during Pesach as is. So if it's not kasherable, you line the sink and make sure that you're not touching the actual sink. Because once it's covered, it doesn't matter. If you have a stainless steel sink, so again, you pour the boiling hot water with the hot rock, go all around the walls and the floor of the sink. Even then, you should still cover the drain area with something. Because the drain area, there's a rim of metal on top of the sink, right? You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. You better go home. So you have a rim around it, and that rim is not kasherable because it's metal on metal. You don't know what's going on between the two metals. So therefore, that has to be covered. Either with the insert, or something, aluminum, whatever is going to last, not something that's going to fall apart. Your garbage disposals, by the way, cannot really be koshered because it's too intricate down there to be able to clean it out very well. So therefore, the best thing is, and over there, because it is metal, you should pour boiling hot water down the garbage disposal, not use it for 24 hours hot before you want to use it. And what some people do, they tell you if you want to clean a garbage disposal, you put ice chips in. That's what the companies tell you to do. You put ice chips into the garbage disposal and turn it on with water, and the ice chips actually clean the disposal pretty well.
Before you do the boiling water, do the ice chips?
Yeah. You have to clean it first. You want to clean it, then do the boiling hot water. Then you pour the boiling hot water down the sink, the disposal. The best thing is, on Pesach, I know it's hard, not to use the garbage disposal. If you have to use it, not if, I would rather say when you have to use it, because sinks, you know Murphy's Law? Sinks always back up only on Pesach. Mm-hmm. That's Murphy's Law. They only back up on Pesach.
Of course.
Huh?
Of course.
What would Pesach be without a sink backing up? Okay, so
what do you do about it?
It's like this. usually when the sink backs up, it's not hot water coming up. It's, by then it's already cool or warm max. It's not a hot water that's backing up. So what you do, if you have to use the garbage disposal to get rid of that junk, the best thing is to empty out the sink, take off the liners, the tubs that you, the inserts that you put in, take them out, and then you put something to cover the garbage disposal that you don't want it spritzing back into the sink. And then what you do is this. You go on and off, on and off, on and off, pour water down, on, off, and you just cover it that you don't want anything spritzing back into the sink. And then when you clean it out with cold water, you clean it out, and then you could put back the tubs, and that's it. But you should try not to put things down, like potato peels, all that you shouldn't put down on Pesach into the garbage disposal, because you're going to have a backed up sink. And then you're going to have to go through this whole process. As far as the faucets go, and this is a very big problem. Years ago, sinks were simple. Okay? Sinks were one piece of metal, the faucet was metal, and it was very simple. Today they have all these decorative faucets. Besides the fact you have the stuff that pulls out and pulls in and then all that stuff. Besides that, a lot of the decorative faucets look like metal, but they're plastic. They're actually plastic, not metal. They might look like metal, and when you tap it, you can really tell the difference if it's metal or plastic. You can really tell by, you know, when you tap it, you see. If it's plastic, the best thing to do, or if it's metal, again, you clean out thoroughly. Don't use it for hot for 24 hours, as I'm going to come to with the sinks in a second. And then you pour boiling hot water all over it. If it's plastic or any other material besides metal, you need to actually cover the whole faucet. You can use aluminum foil. Some people just take plastic, like a plastic bag. Or some people use cheesecloth, because then it goes through anyway. The water goes through anyway at full steam. And then you just make sure to cover the whole faucet. You can take vinyl and make whatever it is. You figure it out how to do it, and you have to cover the sink. Now, if you're kashering the sink with hot water, we learned before that you can't use it for 24 hours for hot. So the only way this is going to work, if you have something called men in the house, or kids, or maids, any of those three problematic creatures, men, kids, and maids, there's no way somebody's going to not forget, and use the sink. So if you want to kasher the sink, what you need to do is like this. First of all, turn off the hot water underneath the sink. Okay? Turn off the hot, and I'm serious, this is what you got to do. It's not, people have problems. You'll go underneath the sink, and you know you close the hot water, that even when you turn on the hot water, it doesn't work. Okay? Secondly, you don't want people pouring hot soup down the sink and hot other things down the sink within that 24 hours. So just put something over the sink and cover it, and that, you know, even men realize that you can't do it, and kids and maids, even they realize that you can't use the sink, and then you have it 24 hours, and then you can go kosher it. Okay? As far as your ovens, okay, so let's go with the easier first. If you have a self-cleaning oven that gets up to 900 degrees, which means, by the way, not the new self-cleaning ovens, the old self-cleaning ovens that get up to 900 degrees, it's very simple to kosher it. You leave the racks inside the oven, even though they tell you not to, but that to do it often like that. You leave the racks inside. You turn on the oven to self-clean for 3 hours, minimum, if you could do it more. But I mean, minimum 3 hours. And then, by turning it on to 900 degrees, it kashers the whole inside of the oven and the racks and everything else you put inside the oven. We're strict that the door, the inside of the door of the oven, does not get up to 900 degrees. And many times there's gaskets around for the door to close, or there's a window. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we are machmir with this, so what do you do on Pesach? You take the inside of the dorm, you line it with heavy-duty aluminum foil, the inside of the door, and you push it down in a way that the door still closes. But just from a practical point of view, if this is your oven door that you want to cover, here's the oven, right? So this is the door. You want to cover the inside of the door, right? The best way of doing it is you cover the whole inside of the door and wrap it around on the outside and tape it. Because otherwise, every time you open and close the door, the aluminum foil comes apart.
But make a special aluminum foil tape. It works really, really well.
Okay, so your Scotch tape also works, by the way. But if you get aluminum foil tape, it's obviously very good. So that, what?
When do you pick it up to 99 cents? Oh, wow.
Can I ask you a quick question?
One second. So anyway, let me just finish this point. So you line the inside of the door. Okay? This is not practical rabbinics. This is halacha rabbinics. The practical, figure out yourself. So the best thing is to wrap it around the outside, and then, you know, it's, you tape it, and then it holds, and then your oven is 100% good. What,
the racks, you have a self-cleaning oven, and the racks you can leave in there. Is that the same thing with the stovetop burners?
We're going to get to the stovetop burners. All this, the grates.
Uh-huh.
If you have, let's say, a gas stove.
And those little things that...
Right. The burners. Yeah. If you have a gas stove that has grates,
yep.
Your best bet is put them into the self-cleaning oven when you self-clean it, together with the racks at the same time. Because... it might become a little bit discolored. It definitely doesn't ruin it. If there's rubber at the bottom of the grate, I'm saying if there's rubber, take off the rubber. The rubber's going to melt.
Right.
Take it off. You could take it off and then self-clean it with the rest of the stuff. And the round circular thing, what's that called?
I don't know. Metal.
Yeah, it's metal. Whatever it's called that the fire comes out of.
Yeah.
And then you do that.
Okay.
If you have an electric stove, what do you want?
Some ovens, when you open it, there's rubber on the edge, on the door. That's impossible to take all the chametz out because you can't take off the rubber.
So you do the best you can, then you line it.
You should line the walls of inside the oven.
Those parts that you think you're not able to clean off well, if it's self-cleaning.
I'm talking about the door.
When you open the oven, the rim has a rubber.
On the oven, not on the door.
Yeah.
So you clean it out the best you can, and the best thing then would be to line that because it's impossible really to clean out 100%. And you have crumbs and you're cooking, baking chametz, whatever, it's a problem. Now.
Better not to use the oven then?
No, you can use it, just clean out and cover it. If you don't have a self-cleaning oven, I'll tell you what the halacha says, and people are stricter, but halachically, according to many opinions, you have to clean it out spotlessly well. Because an oven is very hard to clean, by the way. If you take a flashlight and go look inside what's doing there, you'll see a lot of crumbs all over the place. And then if you have a gas stove, also at the bottom of the oven, there's that metal tray. Mm-hmm. You pick it up, that covers the fire. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? It covers the fire.
Uh-huh.
So you take that out and you'll see underneath there is another restaurant. Of food. So that all has to be cleaned out.
So the toaster the same way.
Toaster oven you can't clean. Toaster, bread toaster?
Uh-huh.
Or toaster oven?
The bread toaster.
No, you can't.
I usually make pizza.
You can't kasher that. That's impossible. You need to get a new one. It's no way you can clean that out.
It's a big, like,
it's a toaster oven.
You cannot kosher that. You have to.
You know that you put slices of bread in and they pop?
No,
she's talking about a toaster oven.
Okay, so you have to speak English.
It's a toaster oven.
The toaster oven's best, because it's not that expensive, is to have a new one for a Pesach. Kashering it is difficult.
Okay.
They have to be spotlessly cleaned, which is difficult because there's crumbs all over the toaster ovens, worse than a regular oven. What people do is they buy a toaster oven 1 year, they put it away from Pesach to Pesach, and they have it every year from Pesach to Pesach, and that's it. If you don't have a self-cleaning oven, what you need to do is clean it out thoroughly. And I would suggest the following. After spotlessly clean, you check with a flashlight. Take out that tray that covers the fire. Turn on the oven to the highest to broil for half an hour. And then put the tray back on and leave it on for another half an hour. Okay? If you can somehow bring your grates to somebody that has a self-cleaning oven is better. If not, what you do is make sure you don't put food actually on the grates. I mean, trays, yeah, but not food itself should not be touching the grates. And try to be careful that the pans don't touch the wall of the oven. Okay? Because you're not really kashering it 100% because it's not getting to 900 degrees. It gets to 550. There is a new self-cleaning oven. There's two names of it. There's one Aqualift, I think it's called. It's a new style self-cleaning oven, which is supposed to be economical, healthy, and everything. But it's a disaster. It gets up to 250 degrees and it self-cleans the oven. It's a chemical in it. Yeah. It's a new style self-cleaning oven. It's called Aqualift, and there's another name for what I forgot. They actually, it self-cleans the oven, but it's not good kashering. Because you have to get it to 900 degrees. And that only gets it to 250. So that has a halach din, like a regular oven, that's not self-clean. You need to clean it out well, and you could do Aqualift just to clean it. But then you really need to turn it on to the highest for an hour or so and make sure that it's kosher that way at least. What?
You know the tray that you're talking about that's
covering the fire?
It's either screwed in or it, I don't know, mine looks like it's...
You can take it out.
Got rivets or something. They all should come out? Okay.
You actually can kosher that type of oven?
I said, halachically, it's kosher. People are machmen and Pesach, they won't use such an oven, but halachically, it's kosherable as is.
When you put it to broil, it gets it to 900?
No, broil is 550.
And that's enough?
I'm saying, if you don't have a self-cleaning oven, according to many opinions, it's enough. So that's what people do. You can today even get oven inserts. I finally saw one a year or two ago. Somebody showed me an oven insert. Mm-hmm. It's actually a metal that
box,
folds,
basically.
And it fits into your oven.
It's a box.
It's a box. Oh. It's a box that has only the walls on the outside and the bottom.
Interesting.
A metal.
Right.
And the inside is empty. So it fits into your oven.
Huh.
So then your oven's covered. And it works.
You don't have to line the tray of the oven once it's kosher, right?
No. Okay. That's the oven. The stove top is like this. If you have electric coils, you clean it out well. If you have electric coils, not the glass top ones, I'm talking about a regular, electric oven, stove top, that you have the regular coils, those get red hot. So what you do is, you turn them on, you wait until they get red hot, and leave it on for a few minutes afterwards. Okay? If you have gas, the best thing is to put it into self-cleaning. If you have the grates, the best thing is to put it into self-cleaning oven. If you can't, what you need to do is kasher the grates. Now, how do you kasher the grates? So if you have a gas oven, stove top, you know what I'm talking about. You have the grate, and the fire comes out in the middle. So the fire is not really touching the sides of the grates, right? Where you really want to kosher it. So if this is the grate, okay, and the fire is coming out in the middle, you take a quarter of the grate, and you put it directly over the fire, leave it there for 10 minutes, then with tongs, and move it to the next quarter, I'll leave it on each quarter for 10 minutes, then the fire is directly burning on that part of the grate, and you can do all the grates at the same time.
How about if you just put it in the oven?
If you put it in the self-cleaning oven,
yeah.
That's great. That's even better. Say if you don't have self-cleaning oven, that's how you kosher those. The stovetop itself, the place in between everything, you have to cover with heavy-duty aluminum foil because it is chametz steak. It's usually not kosherable. especially if it's enamel or porcelain or, you know, not colored, not plain metal, then you really need to line it and cover it completely.
How many layers is considered good? 3, 5?
As long as it's not going to rip.
When you turn on the flame, you're cooking, the flame is very high, you're cooking a lot on Yom Tov, the foil starts getting consumed.
So as I'm saying, you have to have enough foil that it doesn't, that it's still sticking around. It doesn't melt. So people put, yeah, it depends. You have heavy duty aluminum foil that you just cover a few layers. And that's it. Okay, next. Now, as far as your cabinets go, even your pantries where you keep food a whole year, okay? So if you don't want to use it for Pesach, you just close it off, tape it up, and it's sold with the chametz. If you need to use it, so there's nothing hot there. Just that to clean it out, make sure there's no barley all over the place that's spilled or whatever it is. Just clean out the cabinets and make sure the spotless to clean. Some people reline the shelves. You know, every Pesach, it's a good idea to do anyway, but halachically, you don't have to reline the shelves. As long as they're clean, it was all cold, and you're not putting anything hot in it anyway, so according to halacha, it's good. Now, what happens about dish towels, tablecloths, okay? So a lot of people have a custom, oh, by the way, let me just go back one thing. Anything which is coated, like Teflon, you know, any coated pots and pans are not kosherable. If it's not metal, it's not kosherable. If it's, okay, we'll get into...
Can you use coated on Pesach?
What?
Could you use a new pot that is coated on Pesach?
You're allowed to, a new pot that has coating, like Teflon, you're allowed to use on Pesach. There's no problem with the coverings. With the, whatever, the coverings, yeah. The coating, it really is called. There's no problem with the coatings and pastes. They're all fine. There's not a problem with it. As far as tablecloths, dish towels, and all that, there is a Yiddish custom. You get separate dish towels for Pesach. You keep them from year to year, separate tablecloths. According to Halacha, if you wash the tablecloths in hot water, dish towels in boiling hot water, yeah? The din is, and you check them, make sure there's no spots of chametz. Halachically, they're good. Especially if you're using a tablecloth and you're going to be covering it with a plastic, then for sure there's no problem. You can wash the tablecloths that you use the whole year and with, you know, just the hot water, make sure it's clean, and then you're going to be covering it anyway. Okay? So that's that. Now let's discuss for a second. Oh, by the way, high chairs, you know, that's where little kids sit. Those get pretty dirty. Okay. The best thing is the high chair tray. Believe it or not, some parents, don't ask me why, put hot food on it. Either they're hoping the kid won't touch it, or they want the kid to burn their tongue. I don't know why. But if you don't, it should be cleaned. Okay? Spotlessly cleaned. And many people either get a separate high chair tray, or they'll just cover it with whatever, vinyl, wallpaper, contact paper, something like this. You have a bigger problem, by the way, in your car. Okay, if you have kids, and they eat in your car, they sit in their booster seat, or their car seat, and they eat, I wish you luck for Pesach. Because not only is the car seat full of chametz, right, and there's crumbs all over the place, you know, parents know better than grandparents what that is, you need to clean that out. Okay, it's a lot of work, but you got to do it. Not only that, if your kid's eating the car, when you're bored, next few days, stick your hand into the seat. You know where the top and the seat, where the back and the seat join? Stick your hand in there, and you'll see what comes out.
scary things.
It's scary things, yeah.
Like the couch. The couch.
The ABC. You know ABC gum, already been chewed gum. You have everything already been chewed, candies, and everything is there. No, I'm saying, and the car is something you use a whole year and you use the Pesach, so you can't have any chametz. It's not the kitchen, but it's sometimes more work in the car unless you detail the car. Unless somebody else, you just pay for it and let them worry about it. Which by the way probably pays if you want to know per hour what you make and what it costs. It might be worth the money, by the way. Vacuum cleaner bags, I'm mentioning this now. The bags that you have in your vacuum cleaner are full of chametz. And your vacuum cleaner is full of chametz, by the way. So, and if you're planning to use your vacuum cleaner during Pesach, what you need to do is the last vacuuming of chametz that you do, afterwards you empty out the vacuum cleaner bag, throw it out or empty whatever you type it is, and you clean out the vacuum cleaner well, because otherwise there's chametz all over the vacuum cleaner. And you can't have that on Pesach. Now let's get for a few minutes. What happens if you want a kasha? Let's say this is a kiddush cup. I want a kasha for Pesach. Or cutlery. One piece, you know, stainless steel or gold or sterling silver. Silverware. That you want a kasher. So how do you kosher it for Pesach? Again, the best thing is not to kosher it for Pesach and to have separate ones for Pesach. But if somebody needs to kosher cutlery or kiddush cups or whatever else you need. So again, you can't use it for hot for 24 hours. It has to be spotlessly clean. Okay? If there's a tight lip on a pot, you know what I mean? Sometimes you have a tight lip around. You can't clean out where the lip is, and therefore it's not kosherable.
Same with a kiddush cup, right?
Same with a kiddush cup. Sometimes there's a very tight lip, yes, and it's impossible to get in there to clean out, and you don't know what it was washed with and where it was, you know.
Right.
So those things really can't be koshered for Pesach. So what you do is like this. You need to kosher this in a pot. Correct? In a bigger pot. So now what pot do you use? Do you use a chametz thicker pot or do you use a Pesach thicker pot? The best thing, by the way, I'm telling you right now, the best thing is they have in the shuls on Pico and La Brea, they have a kashering day with massive pots, with rabbis there that know what they're doing. Your best thing is whatever you need to kosher, the cutlery, or it's just easier for you, okay? You bring it there and they do it for you and it's kosher. You know, but if you want to do it yourself, it is a little bit of a problem. What you need to do is kosher first. You first need to kosher the pot that you want to kosher the other things with. Okay? So therefore, what do you need to do? You have to make sure the pot is clean, not used for 24 hours. Okay? Then, they write like this. You fill it up, mamish to the top with boiling hot, with water. Bring it to a bubbling boil, which kashers that inside of the pot. The problem is, the outside of the pot's not going to get kashered. So some opinions say, in this case, you don't have to kosher the outside of the pot, but some people say, you should throw in a hot rock, which makes the water overflow. By the way, it puts out the fire usually.
Mm-hmm.
And you make the water overflow that the whole side of the pot is clean, is kashered. Then that is kosher for Pesach, then you can kosher your utensils. How do you kosher your utensils? You empty out the pot after you koshered it, rinse it out in the cold water, then you refill it, let's say halfway or three quarters of the way with water, you bring it again to a bubbling boil, and then you put in, this is your kiddush cup, you put it in, leave it in there for about 10 seconds, and then with tongs or something, take it out and rinse it under cold water. But you have to be careful. Sometimes when the water boils and you put something into the water, it stops boiling. It's not the rapid boil anymore. You have to leave it there until it rapid boils again. Because that's how you can kosher it. So you leave it in there for 10 seconds after it rapid boils, and then you take it out and rinse it under cold water, and then it is what it is. Same thing with cutlery. What?
That pot
pot that you're using to kosher these things for Pesach, you're doing this on a stove top that's already been koshered for Pesach?
Good point. What you should do is either yes,
okay,
or before you kosher the pot, turn on the stove top, get the grates very hot, okay, and then they're really technical kosher for Pesach, and then you put the pot on and kosher it. Now, glass top ovens, glass stove tops, you know what I mean? It's very big now. Those are disastrous for Pesach, year-round also, by the way. Because the problem is, even if you put out, okay, let's say this is the glass stovetop, right? So it's plain glass, the burners are underneath the glass, right? And therefore it's very easy to clean, you take a shmata and it's clean in a second. The problem is, how do you kosher this? So many people say like this, the place where the burner is, you turn on the burners and leave it burn for 10-15 minutes. So they're right, that will kosher the part right over the flame. Okay? Now, what do you do with the space in between? So, what you really would have to then, it's really because it's glass, it's not really a great way of koshering it. What you would need to do is pour boiling hot water, technically, all over the stovetop. Which you can crack the glass. That's when you crack the glass. You're not going to crack marble or ceramic, I mean, or marble or granite. But this you will crack. Which may be good, then you buy a new one, so you have a new one for Pesach. But otherwise, so some people, right, and the problem is like this. In these glass stovetops, the burner is, let's say, for argument's sake, 4-inch diameter. Okay? Your pot is 6-inch diameter. Which means your pot is extending out of the range of the fire. So that part of the stove, how did you kosher it? To pour boiling hot water over it, which is also not that great, it might crack it. The problem is, when you put on the burner, right, so you're koshering the four, let's say it's 4-inch diameter, so you're koshering that 4 inches, but the pot is extending beyond that. So they write that you should make sure that the area around the fire that the pot lays on should be covered. And you need to find out what it can cover with that won't crack it. But otherwise, you're having a pot and a chametzdik stovetop. So yes, they're very practical, they look nice, they're gorgeous, they're very easy to clean, but in the world of kosheris, they're really a disaster. Because you can't really kosher it properly. Okay, let me see what else there is, just from a practical point of view, to get into other things that need to be koshered. Your cars, by the way, have to be koshered. I mean, not koshered. It has to be cleaned properly. High chairs, ovens, okay, freezers and fridges we covered. Show the table and countertops. Okay, now what happens if you have coffee makers? There's no way you can cash your coffee maker for Pesach. There's no way.
Or even a hot urn, right?
You have your Shabbos urn, right. It's called samovar, or
whatever it is.
There's no way you can cash it up for Pesach. Because it's around chametz spritzes. Not only that, when I open the spout and hot water goes in, I'll give you a simple example. You know the tradition soups?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the instant soups. You put hot water in and you let it stay there for a few minutes. Okay. The din is, if I open that spout and water goes into the soup, which obviously is chametz, correct? If the flow is going from the spout to the food, okay, it connects the food to the spout. It's like the food touched the spout, and therefore the spout became chametz stick. The same thing is by way milk and meat. If you're pouring water into milk, okay, the spout becomes dairy. Halachically.
it's a hot milk, if it's a cup that's milk, and you put hot water.
No, I'm saying if you have milk in the cup. Oh. If you have, let's say, for argument's sake, you have a half a cup of milk and you want to warm it up. So you want to put hot water, or baby formula, right? You have a half a bottle of baby formula, which is dairy, let's say. And now you want to warm it up. So you want to dilute it, whatever. You're going to pour water in from the spout into the thing. So the din is that spout becomes milchik, or treif, or fleishik, or chametzik. So therefore, there's no way you can kasher that spout. There's no way you can kasher the urine. So therefore, kettles have to be new for Pesach. He can't kasher them. There's too many intricate parts of the kettle, which is impossible to kasher. The urn is not kasherable. You need a separate urn. Coffee makers, you need a separate coffee makers. Okay? Like we said before, dishwashers, you cannot kasher for Pesach. Blenders.
Microwave is the same thing.
Microwave, yeah, we didn't get there yet. Microwave can also not be kasher for Pesach. Practically speaking. You'll read in the books that it could, but they're not talking about a case when it spritzed. It squirted onto the sides. It's not good for Pesach. You have to get a new microwave for Pesach. Food processors, KitchenAid. Okay? Now, even KitchenAid or these other gadgets, if you bake challah during the year and use your KitchenAid to mix the dough, yeah? You know what I'm talking about? I don't. But you know? Okay, good. So now, flour, believe it or not, spritzes. Mm-hmm. It squirts all over the place. If you would open up your KitchenAid, you would see flour in it. If you bake challah every week with your KitchenAid, you open up the KitchenAid. I don't suggest it because you won't be able to put it back together. You open it up, you'll see flour there. Flour goes up and there's air space and it gets in there. So therefore, those things cannot be kashered for Pesach. Now, depends. Okay. So I'm saying if you have a food processor, the bowls for sure have to be new. The blades, either you can kasher them in boiling hot water or get new blades for Pesach. But sometimes the actual machinery itself, if it never comes in contact with hot and it just needs to be cleaned thoroughly, some people would even cover it just to play it safe. Then technically that would be good. But if you have a KitchenAid that you bake challah with every week, there's no way in the world that they're going to be able to clean that out for Pesach. It just doesn't work. Same thing with blenders, okay? Again, blenders are so cheap today, you buy a blender and leave it for Pesach. But it depends, the machinery of a blender, technically, you know the blenders, okay, they have the base, and then you have the plastic container. Most of the time, the blades are inside the container. For those of you that are a little bit older, our generation, the old-fashioned blenders, the blade was on the machine. And then you put the plastic thing over it. But the blades were actually on the machine. Those machines you couldn't kasher. Because the blade, there's no way you can kasher the blade. Technically, if you have a blender, the only thing that you have on the machine is that little round thing on top that goes, the little piece of metal. Okay, that never touched the food, by the way. It goes inside the blades. Okay, if you look, you know what I'm talking about. So technically, that machine you could use, but you need a new jar, new blender container, whatever it's called. Okay, you have to thoroughly make sure that there's no chametz. Okay, hot plates you cannot use for Pesach. Now, what do you do with your blech?
I was just going to ask you that.
Great minds think alike, yeah. What do you do with a blech? Ideally, you should have a separate blech for Pesach. Because, as everybody knows, your challah spills on the blech, your soup spills on the blech, you know, it does become your chametz stick. So, the best thing, halachically, is to get a new blech to cover the fires on Shabbos. If you can't, for whatever reason. Halachically, what you're allowed to do is clean it off very well. I would suggest pouring boiling hot water all over it, because whatever went on the blach spilled over from the pot, so you pour boiling hot water over it, and then you line it a few times all over the blach with heavy-duty aluminum foil. Because the blach is really a chametzdik, a real chametzdik thing.
How about your slow cooker?
Your slow cooker, the crock pots,
yeah.
Those are not usable for Pesach. I mean, you could use, get a new one, but you can't use the ones that you use the whole year. There's no way you can kasher them. First of all, the insert is ceramic, which is not kasher, but earthenware. And even the machinery, things spill, and if you have, especially if you use them a lot, there's no way you can kasher even the mechanism of it, so therefore you actually need to get a new one. Okay, dishwashers, we said, are not kasherable. Just trying to think. You have any other questions about this stuff? Well, I think we covered most of it.
How about if you have a wooden table and on the top is a glass, and sometimes you see some stuff under the glass?
And the glass doesn't come off?
No, it's not. No.
You can't take it off?
No.
So then what you have to do is cover the table. If you cover the table with the proper covering, then there's no problem because the food is not going to touch it. It's not going to come in contact with it.
Nothing is, I mean, okay.
No, because
we are Sephardic, I can use glass, I mean.
Right. But if there's something underneath it that might be chametz, it would be better to cover the glass just for
not
that.
Not to see.
Right. Not to see it because you don't want it being part of it.
Because
a hot plate also, you can't kasher. What?
You said before that when you kosher the kitchen, the urn should be kosher before you use it. You should kosher it first.
I didn't speak about an urn. I spoke about a pot.
I wrote urn, so maybe I heard wrong.
No, it wasn't an urn. An urn, how are you going to kosher an urn?
Like the white, I have like these white plastic kettles. Can't use it. It has to be metal to kosher.
Well, if you want to kosher that first, you can kosher plastic, so.
So it has to be a metal one.
Or what people do, they'll take a brand new pot, use it for koshering, and then they'll re-kosher it for Pesach. But it's much easier to kosher it then, again for Pesach, because it never got dirty.
So you can't use one of those plug-in hot water things?
For what?
To kosher the counters?
What do you mean, plug-in hot water?
One of those hot water,
like
the hot water boiler things.
Like a portable, you plug it into the wall, and you push a button, and it gets hot like in 5 minutes.
For the tea, like the hot water. But it's only ever used for water. I mean, the outside might get splashed.
But you use it for traditional.
Looks like a pitcher, basically. But it's got an electric.
No, and then.
Electric plug, you plug it in, and it boils the water.
So it's an electric kettle.
Exactly. Not like an urn.
That's no, electric kettle.
Like a kettle.
Yeah, everybody has that electric kettle to heat up water.
Can you use it to kosher?
No, because it's chametzdik. It's been around your chametzdik.
You're going to anyways cover the counters. Can you use it to...
If you're covering the counters anyway, then you can use it to pour boiling hot water all over the place. Yes.
Question, if you're going to blow torch the oven, can you blow torch the door? Or that still has to get...
You can blowtorch the door, but the problem is the area of the gasket is impossible to clean. You're going to blowtorch the gasket?
I don't know.
Don't try it.
No.
You'll need a new door, which is as expensive as the oven. And they're not cheap today, and they don't last long today. Years ago, you bought an oven, lasted for 25 years. Now you buy an oven, the technician will tell you it's made to last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Like the phone.
Like everything else. Like... the whole disposable world today. Okay, they don't make them like they used to. So then you're going to blowtorch the door. First of all, you're going to crack the glass, if it's glass. Secondly, you're going to melt the gasket.
It's rubber.
It's rubber. I mean, what do you...
What about the laundry machine? There's comets that get clothes with...
Don't eat it. And don't eat your clothes.
Do you have to do a cycle before you...
No. You don't have to. Okay, the washing machine. By the way, even bathroom sinks. As a rule, you don't bring food into the bathroom, right?
Right.
So you don't have to kosher your bathroom sink. It's cold water. It's cold water, basically. If you take using it before Pesach to wash chametz dikka things, you should take a wash with warm water, not hot water. Just makes it easier. People that have braces or dentures. Okay. Oh, yeah. Such a thing exists. So people that have braces, let's say, there's an issue because how are you going to kasha the braces? You can't blowtorch it. You can try. Your braces, right? Well, we'll try it on you. We'll get a blowtorch, we'll try it on her to see if we can blowtorch it. See if it gets kosher or not. So what people do, a lot of people go to an orthodontist before Pesach to get it cleaned, that there shouldn't be any crumbs of chametz around it. But a lot of people do that are machmen, like this. I'll tell you, people that want to be very machmen, that have braces, this is what they do. They get it cleaned before Pesach, you know, and afterwards they make sure not to eat hot chametz or chametz that can stick to it. Before Pesach, they'll rinse their mouth with the hottest water that the mouth can handle. It's not trial and error. I mean, you just do it with warm water to kosher it, so to speak, as much as you can. And there are people that are machmer, believe it or not, that on Pesach, if they have braces, they don't eat anything hot. But that's a chumra that halachically you don't have to do. What?
Are we allowed to wear the rings?
Okay, yeah, the rings. That's what I was waiting for somebody to bring up. The rings. Your rings.
And the watch and the bracelet, whatever.
No, watch you. The watch.
Okay, don't eat your watch. The problem with the ring is your rings that you wear, especially if you bake challah with your rings or you cook with your rings on. So they do become... Hot chametz does spritz on it, by the way. I mean, you're cooking soup, right? So sometimes you get hot stuff squirting on your hand. So therefore, it really gets hot. And if it gets hot, it could become chametz stick. So, some people kasher the rings before Pesach, meaning not your diamond rings, and not the settings, everything is going to fall off. Some people take the plain wedding band, let's say, which is plain metal, and they'll just put it into boiling hot water. What's more practical and better, okay, if you use your rings for cooking during the year, when you cook on Pesach, don't wear your rings at the time you cook. That's it. Then there's no problem. As long as they're clean, there's no chametz on them. We're afraid chametz might be absorbed in it. So if you're not cooking with your rings, then it's not an issue at all. Yeah.
What about retainers? You know, after they get the braces off?
Yeah, but most kids don't eat with the retainers. They wear them at night, so there's no food in them. So the retainers, the braces, I mean, your mom is eating with the braces on. Retainers, generally speaking, you're not supposed to wear them when you're eating. So
do you do anything with them?
Just clean them up. And they can wear them when they sleep or, you know, whatever.
You can put it in Listerine or one of those mouthwashes.
Yeah, they clean it, but you don't have to kasher it because you don't wear it by food. And you're not eating with it on Pesach.
What if you did eat with it?
Huh?
What it touches...
And during the year, you mean? Then the best thing is don't eat with them on Pesach, but when you sleep or something else, you could, if they're clean, you could wear them when you're there for sleep or when you're not eating. That's not a problem because, again, it's not hot and it's not... One more din that I want to mention as far as the kashering, what we mentioned before. When you kasher with hot water, you need to wait 24 hours before you kosher it. Correct? The hot water process. With the self-cleaning ovens or the process with the blowtorch directly, you don't need to wait 24 hours.
After you clean it, you don't.
You can make a chametz dikka meal and then an hour later, 10 minutes later, whatever, you turn on the self-cleaning oven and you can do it right away. You don't have to wait 24 hours. You only have to wait 24 hours when you want to kasher with the hot water process. then you need to wait 24 hours. Otherwise, you don't. And all kashering should be done before Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach in the morning becomes a big problem. After the Zman that you're not allowed to eat chametz anymore, it's a big, big problem about koshering utensils, and therefore they shouldn't be koshered. Any other questions about these topics? It's clear as mud. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem, again, the class starts at 8, don't forget. Next week we're going to do products of Mirtz Hashem, and the last week the Seder and, you know, all those things that need to be done. Okay?
Thank you.